Good morning. We'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship today. This is the first Sunday in June, and I think summer has finally arrived, and we give thanks to the Lord for all of his blessing. We pray that this summer season might be a time of refreshment for us. Maybe it's a time when things slow down a little bit, and we can reflect on God's grace and mercy and just get re-energized. For some people, it's a time when things actually pick up and they get busier. But depending on your schedule, no matter what, we give thanks to God for being with us each and every day. And we rejoice that you are here today to worship in his house. Let us begin a few announcements to make. Call your attention to the ones in the bulletin. That tomorrow there is a Red Cross blood drive at the Ridgeville American Legion. And so encourage those who are able to give blood to do so. A reminder also this week is the thrift sale that's here at Zion. And there's a whole lot of explanation. I'll let you read it. But just a reminder that this is the time for the thrift sale. And also one further reminder that on tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., the church council will be meeting. I believe all the other announcements are in the bulletin. So let's continue our worship singing hymn 915, Today Your Mercy Calls Us. Wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean. One thing as we will begin our worship is the dedication of a new altar linen. It has been purchased from memorial funds, and we give thanks for all those who have given to the memorial fund, and we come together in his house to dedicate this new linen. By God's grace, it might be used to his glory and for the use of his church. And so we present this altar cloth to be set apart for the service of Christ's holy church. And we realize that all things come from you, O Lord, and from your own gifts do we give to you. We pray, O Lord, that you would prosper the work of our hands, that you would prosper our handiwork. Show your servants your works and our splendor to their children. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have put it into the hearts of your people to make offerings for your service and have been pleased to accept these gifts. Be with us now and bless us as we set apart this altar linen to your praise and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Scripture says, this is the offering which you shall receive from the people: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet cloth, and finely woven linen. O Lord, my God, how excellent is your greatness. You are clothed with majesty and splendor. And now let us pray. O glorious God, all your works proclaim your perfect beauty. Accept our offering of this altar cloth, and grant that it may adorn your sanctuary and might show forth your glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we will turn to our order of worship on page 151 in the bulletin, and I invite you now to please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We'll join together now in the responsive speaking of a portion of Psalm 119. You have dealt well with your servant,
O Lord, according to your word.
Teach me good judgment and knowledge,
for I believe in your commandments.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray,
but now I keep your word.
You are good and do good. The insolent smear me with lies,
but with my whole heart I keep your precepts.
Their heart is unfeeling like fat,
but I delight in your law.
It is good for me that I was afflicted,
that I might
The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call and to follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first lesson appointed to be read on this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is from Hosea chapters 5 and 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, Let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down that he may bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains the water that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle from Romans chapter 4. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. And that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel, which is also the text for our meditation today, and the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
This is the portion of the service that's been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Good morning. How are you today? Oh, I'm glad to hear it, and I'm sure glad to see you. Today, I brought along the newspaper. And I'll be with you, I'll be honest with you, this is not a happy newspaper. In fact, I've circled several stories. Put them in all different colors. But the fact is, these are stories where somebody has done something that they shouldn't have done. You got stories in the newspapers about crimes and wars and about other problems. And I hope that your name never appears in the paper like this. Well, I know it won't. Because I know that you're going to try to be good people as you grow up. And I know that you're going to make your parents and your friends and even God very happy. But you know the amazing thing about God? Is that even though the names of these people might appear in the newspapers, and the stories might even say that they did some pretty bad things, did you know that even though we do things that we shouldn't, that God doesn't stop loving us? I mean, he'll be sad for us if we get in trouble for the wrong reasons. But the fact is, he's never going to stop loving us. What does Scripture say? That While we were yet sinners, God loved us. You see, God doesn't play favorites. When he sent Jesus to come to earth, when he sent Jesus to come and to live for us, and to suffer and die on the cross for us, and to rise again from the dead, the fact is, he loves us. And that's the whole reason that he did it. So I want you to know just how much God loves you. I mean, he hopes that you're always going to do the right thing. But you know, he's still going to love us whether we do right or wrong. But what should we do when we do something wrong? What do you say?
Sorry.
You say you're sorry. We say that when we, like if you do something to your brother or sister or whatever, and you end up saying, I'm sorry. But then hopefully we also forgive them. And the fact is, when we tell God how sorry we are, he also loves and forgives us. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. I guess I do have something. You can pick one. Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson. I'd like to reread that first verse. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. This is our text. Feeling kind of edgy, a man took a hot bath. And just as he'd become comfortable, the doorbell rang. And the man got out of the tub, and he put on his slippers and a large towel. He wrapped his head in a smaller towel, and he went to the door. A salesman wanted to know if he needed any brushes. Well, slamming the door, the man returned to the bath. Well, the doorbell rang again. And so on went the slippers and the towels, and the man started for the door again. But this time, however, he took one step, slipped on a wet spot, and hit his back against the hard porcelain of the tub. Well, the man struggled into his street clothes, and with every move, a stab of pain, he drove to the doctor. And after examining him, the doctor said, "Nothing's broken, but you need to relax. Why don't you go home and take a hot bath?" You know, I doubt that a hot bath was very appealing at that particular moment, because there are some problems that even a hot bath won't solve. Matthew could have gone home and taken a hot bath. I mean, he had a loathsome job, working for Rome, taxing his fellow Jews. I mean, tax collectors were social outcasts. Devout Jews avoided them because they were usually dishonest. And the job carried no salary. They were expected to make their profits by cheating the people from whom they collected the taxes. And patriotic and nationalistic Jews hated them because they were agents of the Roman government, the conquerors. And they hated them with a double hatred if, like Matthew, they were Jews, because they had gone over to the enemy. They were betraying their own people for money. Well, it wouldn't have been very surprising if Matthew was ready for a change of careers. But the fact is, the money was good. But let me ask you, was it worth the hatred of your own people? Maybe so, because still, he sat behind his desk in the tax office. That is, one day, until into his life came Jesus. Let me ask you, have you got a story to tell like that? Maybe you were going along with your life, not really happy, but not miserable either. Your job was okay. Your family was terrific. But still, you were searching. And just at the right moment, into your life came Jesus. The fact is, there are a lot of people who have stories like that to tell. Stories about a new beginning. Stories about a sudden life-changing experience. People are changed when Jesus walks into their life. And if you didn't have an experience like that, and you've been a child of the Lord ever since you were brought as an infant to be baptized, well, that's also cause to give thanks to God, because you have always known his grace and his blessing. But the fact is, the story, like Matthew's, has been told for over 2,000 years. Maybe somebody says, "I was a criminal. like all of the names that were in that newspaper. Maybe somebody says, I was filled with feelings of revenge and hate. Or maybe I was grieving with a heart full of pain. I was dissatisfied with my work, my family, but most of all myself. And then Jesus came into my life. That was Matthew's story. Maybe it's your story. Matthew was sitting there in the tax collector's office, prosperous, but despised. And along came Jesus. And what did Jesus say to him? Well, he said what Jesus says to each one of us. Follow me. Don't just study about me. Don't just admire me, but follow me. Rebecca Jordan tells a story about a friend of hers named Neil. Now, Neil had just finished picking up his prescriptions at the drugstore. And as he drove home, he noticed a little Volkswagen Bug following closely behind him. And to his surprise, that little car followed him right into his own driveway. Well, Neil got out to confront the driver. Another surprise, there was no driver. It seems that Neil had accidentally backed into this little car at the drugstore and locked bumpers with it. And that lightweight little car, it stayed stuck to his bumper for the whole drive home. Well, Neil called the drugstore just moments after the Volkswagen owner had called the police and reported his car stolen. But I'm going to say that just in the same way that that little Volkswagen Bug locked onto Neil's car, Matthew locked on to Jesus. Scripture says that Jesus said, follow me. And just like that, Matthew rose and followed him. I mean, he could have gone home and taken a hot bath. Who could have blamed him? That would have been a whole lot easier. Most of us, the fact is, most of us don't like to leave our comfortable situations. But just like that, Matthew did. Most of us don't like to take on new challenges. And it would have been easier for Matthew if he would have stayed at his tax table. The Christian community since early times has commemorated Matthew as one of the martyrs of the faith. Many of us, given the choice, would have preferred being a live tax collector to a dead disciple. But that's not the choice that Matthew made. He followed Jesus. In fact, is that as we look at today's account, Matthew brought many of his former associates to meet Jesus. So many that someone remarked about Jesus, see, he eats with sinners and tax collectors. But Matthew was simply doing what Christ wanted him to do, spread the word. And see, that's part of what it means to follow Jesus. It means to be an ambassador of Christ. It means to live a life of service in a world where many people hunger for power. It means to live a life of love in a world where many people lust for revenge. It means to live a life of giving in a world in which many people are simply takers. Follow me. Those are not words to take lightly. There's an interesting story about the Queen Mary, one of the most luxurious ocean liners in the world back in the 1930s and 40s. You see the tables of this great liner? They had the finest china and silver. Its private berths were spacious and well decorated. But I don't know if you knew that during World War II, the The Queen Mary was commissioned to serve as a troop transport ship. All of its luxuries were stripped away to prepare it for war. The fine china was replaced by dented metal trays. The spacious compartments, they were crammed to the ceiling with bunk beds. In fact, I was reading on one trip, they had almost 17,000 people on that ship. Today, the Queen Mary is a floating museum. One half of the part of the ship is decorated to look exactly like that luxury liner of the 1930s, and another part is decorated to look like a World War II troop ship. And I also know that a lot of it has been converted to a hotel, so you could stay on the Queen Mary if you so desired. But the thing is that visitors to that ship are able to see the radical difference between a life of luxury and a life of service. Well, Jesus was calling Matthew to a life of service. He was calling Matthew to follow, to go where he went, to live as he lived, to love as he loved. And that is a tough assignment for anyone, because Jesus' love knew no boundaries. A terrorist, if he repents, would be as welcome at Christ's table as the holiest person in the realm. Maybe even more so, because later in the passage, Jesus summed up his ministry like this: it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you know what? That's Christ's message to us today. It's a disturbing thought, but it's clear from this passage that Christ didn't come for those who have it all. He didn't come necessarily for those who live in the most luxurious houses or drive the top-of-the-line automobiles. He came for those whose lives are in disarray. He came for those who realize that they are flawed. He didn't come for the faces of those who are on the cover of magazines. I mean, they have their reward. But he came for that convenience store clerk working late into the night in dangerous surroundings. Jesus didn't come for those on top, but for those who are just struggling to get by. I mean, that's a hard message for many of us, but it's good news indeed. I mean, that's not to say that the person who has it all can't squeeze through that proverbial eye of the needle. But it's to say that such a person would need to confess that his or her only hope is Jesus Christ, just as we need to confess that our only hope is Jesus Christ. It's not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. Do you confess your need of Christ this day? Are you ready to make a change in your life? Or do you simply want to relax in a hot bath? If you're ready for more, if you're ready for a true adventure in living, then Jesus says to each and every one of us, follow me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be your own. And Lord, you shower upon us so many blessings. Lord, we return just a portion of the rich blessings you have given to us. And we pray that you would make them useful for the work of your church and the proclamation of your word. We pray, Lord, for your Spirit to work through that word in the hearts and lives of all who hear it, that one day all people might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now we join together in praying. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For repentance, that the Lord, who both strikes down and heals, would revive us and raise us up to live before him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ongoing call of pastors, that as Matthew left his tax booth for the apostolic ministry, so men in our day would enter into this ministry to proclaim God's word and administer his sacraments in righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, that our Father in heaven would strengthen them to train their children diligently, defend them from discouragement and apathy, and convince them that he is able to do what he has promised. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace among the nations, that our Lord, who calls everything into existence and governs it for good, would guide those in authority to reflect his order and purpose in their work. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those suffering from illness, especially, Lord, we raise up in our hearts Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Todd, Karen and Linda, Bill and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Norma, Ron and Vicky, Kyle and Renee, Michelle and Diana, Jordan, the Pedigo family, Ralph and Chelsea, Ron and Soli and Mike, and all of those others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that according to the compassion of our great physician, they might be restored to health and strength, and that they might remain firm in faith and trust in the midst of these difficulties. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that they would hold firmly to the promises of their righteous Savior, who was handed over for our trespasses and raised again for our justification, and that the presence of his crucified and risen body would forgive, nourish, and strengthen their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a cheerful and willing spirit, that God would preserve us from a grudging heart and lead us joyfully to pursue good because of the good done for us in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. For his kindness to Abraham, Sarah, and all the saints who have received Christ's eternal promises, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that he would preserve us in faith and righteousness to glorify him now and forever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To him we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let us sing the Lord, rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may you take with you the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. We will continue our worship singing the closing hymn, 922, Go My Children with My Blessing.
Forgive.